All right, I ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Paul writing the Christians in the church at Colossae, in chapter number 3. Verse number 17 for our text this morning. Paul here says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Lord, we thank you today that we have an opportunity to stand and witness for you, to be a testimony of your love and your grace. And thank you, Lord, that one day you did send the light to us. And that today, this morning, we can be a testimony of the marvelous grace that has changed our lives and given us eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son. We ask you now that you might give thy servant the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit, that, Father, this morning we might present thy word, and that thy word might go forth in power of the Holy Spirit. And for everything that's done, we want to give Jesus Christ the honor and the glory, for it was he who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name I pray, amen and amen. Paul writing, of course, the book of Colossae, but in the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 10 and verse number 31, he says to that church something along the same lines, practically the same thing. He said, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Someone had said they're praising God on Sunday, but they'll be quite all right come Monday. That's the story of the lives of many people this morning. They praise God on Sunday, but they're a complete difference on Monday. As I travel, and as I this morning think about the things that I've seen through my life, I remember a church over in Montgomery, Alabama, many years ago, and that morning they had 3,500 in the service, and that evening they had 250. And you know, sometimes when you look at these humongous churches and you see the great crowds that they attract, and then come Sunday evening, they're way, way, way below what most churches are today. Several years ago, I read a little thing, and it said, if you want to see who loves the church, come on Sunday morning. If you want to see who loves the pastor, come on Sunday night. And if you want to see who loves the Lord, come on Wednesday night. I'm afraid this morning so many people have what I would call part-time religion. I really do not believe this morning in part-time salvation, but many, many, many today, I'm afraid, have part-time religion. They've never really given their entire life to the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never really let God take complete control of their entire life this morning. And they this morning are a different person when they come to church than they are when you see them at other times during the week. Dr. Adrian Rogers once said that one of the things that always amazed him was how that he could be talking to a fellow pastor and they would all be having a good conversation, and then it would come time for the service, and the fellow would get up and say, "God," like he had a mouthful of something. He said, "You always have to be yourself, no matter where you're at." Many people, they have religion that begins at the church door, and it ends when they leave this morning. That's what religion really is. It's something that you have when you're here, but once you leave, it's gone. But salvation, genuine Christianity, is really always there. It never goes away this morning.
Amen.
Paul said that we're to do all for the glory of God. Now, what does all mean? Well, it's kind of like the little boy was sitting in church one Sunday, and the preacher got up and he said, what does all mean? And he looked down at the little boy and he looked up and he said, well, preacher, all I can tell you, all means all, and that's all that all means is all. I guess it means all, doesn't it? I think that includes everything that we could think about today. Everything that we do, no matter what it is this morning, we're to do for the glory of God. Paul said and told the church at Colossae that whatsoever we do in word or deed. So I guess this morning that once again we could say that one, we're doing it all today in the name of the Lord Jesus today. Everything that we do, we're to do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to do this morning to the glory of God the Father today. Our lives are to be a complete time of worship to God, to bring God glory in everything that we do this morning. I see a lot of building going on in our day and age, and I see a lot of church buildings that are being built throughout the world and throughout the country and even throughout our region many times today. I see them building gigantic and huge buildings today with closed circuit TVs and rooms for every occasion and event this morning. I've got so much beauty and all the stained glass and all the things that we can think about and all the trappings this morning, and you begin to wonder, for who? For who? Who are they building this beautiful and gigantic building for, and what are they building it for? I'm not here to question and say about any particular individual place, but what are they building it for? What do they need all of that for this morning? I read recently about a particular church that was building a new building, and they spent $6 million on a pipe organ. Can you imagine spending $6 million on a pipe organ today to put into a church? Why? What do we do it for? That's a great question this morning. Over in the book of Nehemiah, as you read through the book of Nehemiah, and you find that Nehemiah was God's man to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls and to rehang the gates that had been broken down and burned by fire. And God used Nehemiah in a mighty way to go back and be the leader to build those walls back again and to rehang those gates this morning. And as you begin to read through the book of Nehemiah, and you get to Nehemiah chapter number 3, and it seems that every verse contains several hard-to-pronounce Hebrew names. And as you begin to read those names, you wonder, why in the world did the Lord put all of these names in here? What am I going to gain from reading this Bible and reading about these particular people that were building these different sections of the wall and rehanging these particular gates this morning? Well, you begin to read that this morning, and as you begin to read it, you realize what these people were doing. They were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and rehanging those gates, and they were doing it this morning for the glory of the Lord today. They were doing it so that God might receive glory in that hour, and that those around them who that were their enemies, who had been this morning persecuting them and mocking them and ridiculing them about their God, would see the power and the glory of God this morning. And as they begin to do that, God recorded their names in the Word of God. How amazing that is, that God would look down and see these ordinary people doing His work, and yet their name is now recorded forever in the eternal Word of the living God, inspired this morning by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Why? Because these people were working and laboring and doing it every day for the glory of God. And Paul here is teaching us the same thing, that everything that we do, every part of our lives are to be done for the glory of God. Sometimes people talk about worshiping the Lord. And you know, some churches have what they call worship leaders. I've never understood what a worship leader is. I'm kind of like Harold Seitler, who was a pastor of the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina, the only pastor up until his death that ever had. He was the man that was there when the church was built, and he served that church until his death. And one time somebody asked him, said, well, Brother Seitler, who is your assistant pastor? He said, Harold Seitler. They said, well, who's your youth pastor? He said, Harold Seitler. They said, well, who's your music pastor? He said, Harold Seitler. He finally looked at him. He said, you need to understand, God's got one pastor for this church, and it's Harold Seitler. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't use other people and that he was an egomaniac. He was one of the greatest men of God that I've ever met. But this morning, we need to realize that sometimes I'm afraid that what people are doing is working people up and trying to get some kind of an emotional response out of them, and they're calling it worship. But what really is worship? We could give you concise dictionary terms. We could look at the Greek word. We could do all of those things. But what Paul is saying here in the book of Colossians gives you a pretty good idea what real worship is all about. You see, he begins to instruct us how to live our lives. In verse number 18, he speaks to the wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. You want to worship the Lord and you're a wife this morning, you are willing to submit to your husband. You're willing to be under his leadership, his headship. He is the head of the house. Somebody said, I don't like that. We'll take that up with the Lord. I didn't have anything to do with it. He established that. That's God's order this morning. Wives, submit to your own husbands. I had a lady come to me one time and said, my fiance and I are going to get married. Would you perform the ceremony? And I was talking to her, and she finally said, and we're not going to use that phrase, obey. And I said, well, I'm not going to do the service. And she said, well, why? I said, because that's what God said for you to do. You're to be submissive. You're to submit to your own husband. That's the Lord this morning. Somebody says, well, that's you're just one of those male people today that think every woman should just bow down. No, that's not what I said. That's not what submission means. It means you're willing today to come under the headship and the leadership of your husband today. And that's worshiping the Lord. That's obeying God in your everyday life. But see, he doesn't stop there. He doesn't let us off that easy. He said, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. We're to love our wives. That means we're to have a Christ-like love for our wives. And so if you love your wife this morning, as Christ loved the church, as Paul teaches us in the book of Ephesians, then this morning, it's pretty easy to be submissive to that kind of person today. You see, we're to be loving husbands. We're to be, this morning, those husbands that love their wives. That's worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
That's what he says. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Are children always obedient to us? Absolutely not. Should they be? Sure. But that's why he gives them parents to help make sure that they learn obedience this morning. But if you're a child and you really want to be obedient today and want to worship God, you be obedient to your parents. But then he says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger lest they be discouraged. So we're to be good parents. We're to be those kind of parents this morning that God wants us to be. We're to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're to train them up in the way that God would have them to be raised today. I'm amazed as I live day by day and I see all of these things going on and rebellious children and parents today who really don't seem to care about their children and husbands who seemingly want to nothing to do with their wives and wives this morning who do not want to be in submission to their husbands and live their own lives and do what they want to do anytime they want to do it. And yet they'll walk in the door of a church and everything hunky-dory. That's what Paul is saying here today. That's part-time religion. That's not really worshiping God and doing it as the Lord would have you do every day of your life. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. We're to do the very best job we can for our employers. Our employers are to treat us not as servants today, but and not as slaves, but as brothers in Christ. And on we could go today. And what Paul is saying here today, as he said, is that this morning our lives are to be immersed and be given entirely over to God. And we're not to begin at the church door and end when we go back out, but it's to be something that we do all of our lives this morning. Somebody says that's hard to do. Absolutely it is. How in the world can this take place? Well, it must be, first of all, built upon the right foundation. You see, there's only one foundation this morning, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7, Jesus talked about the man that built his house upon the sand and another man who built it up on the rock this morning. And when the storms of life came and everything began to cave away this morning. The sand, of course, washed away and the house was gone and great was the destruction thereof. But the house that was built upon the rock this morning was still standing and stable because it had the right foundation. Let me tell you this morning, you better build your life upon the rock of ages today. And if you're built upon the rock of ages this morning and upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, this morning, then that foundation will remain secure and give you that you need every day of your life to do what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. Too many people are building upon their own foundation today and a foundation of their own making. Many people join a church and that's their foundation. They've joined some particular church for whatever reason today. Might have been because of some gimmicks, some games, or whatever it might have been today, but there's no real foundation. You see, real foundation today gives you some things that you can't have anywhere else this morning. Paul said in the book of Romans that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. This morning, do you have peace with God?
Amen.
Do you have peace with the Lord today? Do you have joy in your heart? Do you have love for your brethren? Do you have love for your enemies? Somebody said, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says we're to love our enemies. We're to pray for those that are against us today. We're not to hate. We're to love. We can't do that without the right foundation. We can't really live our lives dedicated to God unless we're built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ today. See, so many times we want to start out one way and, you know, it's our own way. But the only way this morning is Jesus, for he's the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Many people are trying to find other foundations today, but Jesus Christ is the only foundation. He's the chief cornerstone. He's been rejected through the ages, but thank God he's still there for anyone who wants to accept him this morning. Is your life built upon the right foundation today? Is it? Is it built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? And it must be really glorifying to God. You see, it must be consistent with the Word of God. We're living in a time and age when many people want to take the Bible as we used to when I was a young boy and we'd be playing some game and right in the middle of the game, we decide we'd change the rules. You know, you ever done that? Sure you have. You know, we decide, hey, we'll make a different rule. We always had. Then we get in a big fight. And after the fight was over with, who won the fight, that's the rules that work, you know. That's the way it is today. People want to change the rules. They want to change what the Bible says. You can't do that. It's got to be consistent with the Word of God. You don't just change the rules because suddenly there's something you don't like. Because suddenly you come across this and you say, hey, it's got to be consistent with the Word of God. It's got to be consistent with the character of God. God is holy today. And he'll never, never tell us to do anything that is wrong or sinful. Never, 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 never. We can't blame God for our mistakes. We can't blame God for our sins. We have to take responsibility. Will Rogers once said, we've come to two eras in America. We've come to the era where we got past the buffalo, and now we're there passing the buck. You know, that's kind of the way we do. We want to put the responsibility on somebody else. Nothing's ever our fault. You know, I hear today, well, God made me this way. No, God didn't make you that way. You were born with a sinful Adamic nature. You have lust and pride and all of this stuff all up inside you. But thank God today God can change that this morning. And God will never make you sinful. God will this morning cleanse you from your sin.
Amen.
Is it consistent with the character of God? You see, that lets people see God's power and glory as it did in the days of Nehemiah. One of the amazing verses of Scripture in all of the Bible this morning, when you think about it, is found in the book of 1 John, chapter number 3. And you read this verse and you think about it this week. And you think about what God is saying here. 1 John, chapter 3, and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, right now, we are the sons of God. Well, you look across this congregation today. You think about what that's saying. How much God loved you, that he was willing to wash you from your sin and allow you to become part of his family this morning.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And you see, that today is not done just to save your soul. Thank God it does. But it's done so the world can see the love and the grace and the power of God and bring him glory and honor this morning. When you step outside that church door, and you go to work tomorrow, you go to school tomorrow, you're in your home tomorrow, whatever you do tomorrow, you see, you become a testimony of the grace of God, of what he can build in your life this morning, as the walls were in the days of Nehemiah. And you see, that's a testimony to the power, the love, and the grace of God that brings him honor. And people will have to say, well, there's no way that that person could have done that on their own. God had to be involved in it.
Right.
That's what it's about. We are now the sons of God. And it must be secure this morning in the hope of Christ. Secure in the hope that Jesus Christ has given us this morning. I constantly read in the past several weeks, months, I guess, and most of the Islamic countries. They're persecuting Christians very severely, imprisoning them, even executing them, taking their property. And I began to wonder one day, how would we do in one of those nations this morning? Would we this morning still be a testimony for God if tomorrow they said, if you don't renounce Christianity, we'll take everything you have. We'll put you in jail. We'll do this, we'll do the other. The only answer I could give you today is, thank God I can be secure in the hope of Christ.
Amen.
And no matter what happens in this life, he never leaves me. He never forsakes me. And that if I depart from this life, I'll be absent from this body, but I'll be present with the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
This morning, are you built upon the right foundation? Do you have that secure hope in Christ? The great news I have for you today is God still loves you. And if you want that right foundation, God still supplies it. He'll still change you, give you a brand new life in Christ Jesus today, and he'll do it for his honor and his glory. You see, that's God's part. My part, simply submit to him and say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. This morning, how is your life this morning? All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. I ask you to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In the name of the wonderful Savior, I pray. Amen.